Today, we celebrate Epiphany Sunday, the manifestation of Jesus as the divine Son of God. We traditionally remember the story of the Magi from the Gospel of Matthew, the wise men who followed a star from afar looking for a child, the Messiah. We celebrate this moment as the divinity of Jesus is revealed to the world. We sing of three kings and think about the moment those wise men who had traveled so far laid eyes on Jesus. While the story of the wise men is what we often think of for Epiphany, we only see this story in Matthew. But the Gospels are full of moments of Epiphany, the moment when the divinity of Jesus is made known. Russ spoke of one last week from the Gospel according to Luke, when Simeon and Anna, elders and prophets, people of God, recognize the newborn Jesus at the temple. They recognize him as Christ the Lord, and they bless him. Parents, Mary and Joseph, walk away from that moment with a blessing and a reminder that Jesus is the Son of God. We learn that when Mary and Joseph leave the temple that day, that Jesus continues to grow. He grows strong and wise, and God blesses him. Our scripture of Epiphany today directly follows that passage in Luke of Simeon and Anna. Time has passed. Jesus has grown and is now a 12-year-old boy. Let us hear this scripture and be reminded of the familiar story of Jesus as a child in the temple, and look on it with the eyes of Epiphany.
One. Today's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Here begins the reading. Now, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming there was he in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Here ends the reading, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I have always felt some camaraderie with Mary and Joseph based on this scripture. That moment of recognition of being part of the great parenting team, and the reality that raising children, no matter who they are, is hard work. That the eyes of many seem to be watching as you do your very best for your children. And still, your child appears to be lost. The moment of panic that occurs before you know that everything is okay or not. I have always viewed this passage from Luke from the perspective of Mary. And that makes sense. I am a mother, and Luke tells the story from the perspective of Mary. It is in Mary's voice that we hear her talking to Jesus. Joseph is there, but he is quiet. Mary is doing the parenting in this encounter. I have had these types of conversations with my own children. Why did you do this to me? Didn't you know how worried I would be? Common feelings from parents trying to raise children to be their very best, to be the people that God created them to be, but as if an instinct, focusing on our own needs and realities first. On Epiphany Sunday, I read this scripture differently. I read it from the perspective of a 12-year-old child, a boy who was growing spiritually in a home where the Torah is known and followed, the rituals of Jewish life lived out, a boy who was growing in stature in a small town, in a simple home with parents who love him, parents who were willing to flee their home when he was young to protect him, a boy who somehow knows that he is the Son of God, and when confronted by a frantic mother and father, declares that he must be in his father's house. How could they not know that about him? He asks. In this moment, Jesus' first words in the Gospel of Luke are spoken by a 12-year-old child, a child who is in the temple and in no uncertain terms declares to his earthly parents that he is indeed the Son of God and is in his father's house doing his father's business. Joseph is standing right there. Everyone knows that Jesus is not speaking of Joseph or Mary, but of God. Jesus' divine nature is made manifest in a 12-year-old boy. That is Epiphany. In the end, Jesus goes home with Mary and Joseph. He grows in wisdom and in divine and human favor. He grows up. But Mary's not over this yet. She's still processing the incident. In one translation, it says, his mother kept on thinking about all that had happened. Mary had a lot to think about. Mary, the mother who was visited by an angel and told she would give birth to a divine son and name him Jesus. That's Epiphany. Mary, who was visited by celebrating angels in a stable with a newborn baby, is Epiphany. Mary, who was surrounded by shepherds who couldn't wait to see the Christ child that had been born in Bethlehem, Epiphany. Mary, who received in her home gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh for her son, by wise men from afar, following a star, coming to see the Messiah. Epiphany. Mary, whose child was taken from her arms at the temple by Simeon and blessed. Blessed is Lord. That's Epiphany. And now, Mary keeps on thinking about all that has happened. This pondering should not be taken as a lack of faith. Instead, the need for Jesus' mother to ponder these events reminds us that God's activity in the world, in its mystery and surprise, often requires discernment that is achieved only with difficulty, even among those specially favored by God. December 21st, 2015, mere days before Christmas, a busy time in the life of a minister, a busy time in the life of a family with three children. And for my family, it was moving day. We were happy to be moving from a small apartment to a small home that we could settle in and make our own after complicated transitions. But we were also grieving the unexpected death of my dad and beloved daddo to my kids. Just weeks before. This loss left an enormous hole in our hearts and our lives. And yes, we were happy, but we were hurting. And Christmas at home for me and my grief was more than I could handle. The kids went to school, the move happened, and I went back to work. All things of the home had been deposited in the new place, but nothing was put together. It was a mess. Beds needed to be reassembled, boxes unpacked. There was so much work to do. Unbeknownst to me, while I was away, some elves from UCC assembled and managed to get into the home, put up some decorations that they brought, put beds together, cleaned up, made it feel more like home. Just a little more manageable. But I was adamant, even against my children's repeated request that I was not going to put up a Christmas tree. Add to the mess, no thank you. It was already too much. It just wasn't going to happen. The doorbell rang late that evening, and a family that had cared and loved my family walked in the front door with a Christmas tree. They set it up in a matter of minutes, decorated it, and left as quickly as they had come, with a hug and a Merry Christmas. I didn't know what to do or what to think as I stared at a Christmas tree that brought hope, peace, joy, and love to our new home. I pondered these things. To this day, I still think about this experience and what it means. I recognize now what I could not then, that God was working in the midst of our pain and grief and exhaustion. God showed up in two unrelated groups of people who loved us, helping us on our way to being whole, loving us in our grief. That's Epiphany. The reality of how God works is not always apparent to us, even when we believe fully that God is working. For me, it's often in retrospect that I see the beauty of God's presence in my life. It's when I ponder and think about my experiences that they add up to the miraculous, divine mystery of God. I think Mary did the same. But 12-year-old Jesus, he did not. The child Jesus was living in the present, knowing fully that he was divine. He named himself as the Son of God to the parents who were raising him. He knew who he was. He didn't have to ponder and think. But he was only a child, some might say. How could he know? My heart for ministering to children is in this scripture. I believe children experience the divine in ways we as adults can never imagine. Adults have to ponder. Children do not. I believe Jesus was in divine conversation with God as a child, not because he was Jesus, but because he was a child of God, learning, listening to who God called him to be, fully accepting his divinity at an age that many of us would discount any major pronouncements. He's just a boy. What does he know? But Mary knew. And Mary remembered, and Mary pondered, and she listened. I believe we discount the divine experiences of our children because as adults, reality makes more sense than trying to understand the mystery of God. When you listen to children tell stories of their dreams, their imagination for who God is, their visions, how they view the world, we often try to bring the reality of it all together for them, to explain it to them. Well, it was just a dream. It could have been a shadow. I might have heard something too. Because our adult minds no longer imagine on a daily basis like a child's, even when we see the divine working in front of us, we can miss it. But children rarely do. Children might not have the language to describe what they are experiencing, but it is there. As adults, we have to learn to recognize Epiphany when it is happening. In fact, we have to remind ourselves that Epiphany is always happening. The manifestation of Jesus as divine and working in the world, bringing God's love and grace to all, is happening now. In this moment, if only we could see it through the eyes of a child. We must listen to the ways our children see God working. We have to have conversations about the presence of God in our midst, not teaching from a curriculum, but reading scripture and asking what they think. What do they hear? Where do they see God in the world? Where do they see God in creation? That's Epiphany. The pandemic that we hope to say goodbye to in 2020 follows us into 2021. But so does God's love and grace. As we continue living life, may we be like 12-year-old Jesus, learning, listening, having conversations with others about God, and knowing fully who we are called and created by God to be. That is Epiphany. Amen.